Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. I apologise that there haven't been any reflections recently, but things have been a bit hectic. But we're going to get back into the swing of it, and we're going to be looking at a series on dangerous prayer, what it means to pray dangerously. And we're going to, I'm going to be putting out multiple videos until we catch up with what we're doing actually live at Stratton Vale. So do keep looking out for them. But let us begin with our exploration into dangerous prayer. So I want us to focus on really crying out to God and listening to his response. I want us to pray fervently to him, passionate in hearing from him. I want us to pray dangerous prayers. But what do I mean by dangerous prayers? I mean I want us to pray prayers that will force us to step out of our comfort zone, that will force us to take risks in the name of Jesus. Prayers that will leave us depending on the Holy Spirit to get through. So as we go through this series, I'm going to be using material from a book that I'm currently reading called Dangerous Prayers, Because Following Jesus Was Never Meant to Be Safe by Craig Grissom. He is a minister who had a bit of a wake-up call after a conversation with his friend about his prayer. And this is the conversation that he records in the book. "Hey Craig, do you believe God still does miracles?" "Of course," I said. "Good, because your prayers are so lame." I tried to laugh with him, but my friend's joke stung, mostly because he was right. We had just left a prayer service together, back when I started working in ministry. My buddy knew me well enough to tease me, but I suspect he was also making a point. Left speechless, I offered no defence as I processed the truth of his observation. I couldn't deny that he voiced a secret I already knew but didn't want to admit. My prayers were pathetic. So can we relate to this at all? Are our prayers too safe, too comfortable? Or are we on fire with passion for God when we pray and praying dangerous, risky prayers? Real, honest, vulnerable prayers are inherently dangerous because it is inviting the God of the universe to intervene in your life and in the world around you. And we cannot control God or state how he is going to move. I often remember the quote from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Susan and Mr. Beaver have a conversation about Aslan, who is a representation of Christ. And it says, "Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion." "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." God isn't safe. And so when we pray real, heartfelt prayers, we shouldn't expect God's answer to that prayer to be safe either. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. That's a quote by Søren Kierkegaard. We were not made for a life of comfort and mediocrity. God has called us to be his hands and his feet in the world. And this means that we need to be set apart from the ways of the world. So often we allow the world to direct us, to demonstrate how we should live our lives. Culture tells us to find easy solutions, to live in comfort, to take shortcuts to get what we want. But what is God telling us to do? So over the course of this series, we're going to be journeying through three simple but dangerous prayers. Search me. Break me. Send me. And we're actually going to spend quite a long time looking into each one, because there is so much that is in those prayers that we really need to pay attention to. We want to listen to what God might be saying to us. But for this week, we're going to look at what it means to pray dangerous prayers. Why is it important? There might be a lot of mixed emotions when we think about our prayer life. So firstly, I want to talk about our need to unburden ourselves regarding our prayer lives. I imagine a lot of us know that we need to pray more. We need to pray with more passion, more faith, more desire. We want to come to God and talk to him intimately, as if we're sharing a conversation with our best friend or spouse. And yet often, our prayers remain safe, predictable, small. And we might find ourselves feeling guilt and shame over our lack of passion in our prayer life. And if this is something you can relate to, I want to assure you that you are not alone. Even the Apostle Paul spoke about not taking hold of the prize, but needing to keep pressing on. In Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14, it says this: "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul knew we had to have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not allow anything to hold us back, whether that's guilt or shame or the things that are behind us or anything else. He knew that we have to keep pressing on towards the goal. And this applies to our prayer life as well as our general journey of faith. When we feel our prayer life is slipping into a rut and getting comfortable and staid, then we need to press into God more than ever. Instead of allowing guilt and shame to fill us, make us hide from God, we need to choose to give it all to him. We can hand over our guilt and shame to God, and he will restore us. God does not wish for us to know guilt, shame, embarrassment. He wants us to be full of life and grace. And so, spend a moment and give God any feeling of shame, any feelings of guilt. Let him take control of what you're feeling. Perhaps you are in a good place in your prayer life, and you're unable to resonate with what I've just said. So instead, maybe just take a moment to turn to God and sit in his presence. Give thanks to him and thank him that he's here. He's speaking to you. Let God hear what you are going through, and then take it away from you. Let him unburden you and give you that sense of peace that comes from being in his presence. So perhaps you might want to pause the video and just take a moment to pray and give God all that you need. I also want to ask the question, why do we pray? Some people treat prayer as if we are buying a lottery ticket for a chance to win a life that is stress-free, problem-free, pain-free. Others perhaps pray because it is a familiar habit or routine, much like reciting the lyrics of a favourite song or remembering a childhood nursery rhyme. Prayer can be seen as comforting and sentimental. Or perhaps we pray because we know that we will feel guiltier if we don't pray, so we come to God out of a sense of duty and guilt. But why do you pray? I'm going to read from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So Jesus talks to his disciples about prayer, and he compares them to the hypocrites and to those who pray because they want to be seen praying. And he says, do not be like them. Jesus invites us to enter into a relationship that brings fullness of life, but that comes at a cost, because we need to lay down everything before him and let him take control. Corrie ten Boom said this wonderful quote about asking this question: is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? If we want to have that amazing relationship with God, we need to let him steer our lives, and that means leaving our own will behind. I'm reminded of the story of the rich young man who approached Jesus asking what he had to do to gain eternal life. And Jesus told him that he needed to sell everything and give to the poor. And the man left sad because he knew he was not willing to give his whole heart, his whole life to Jesus. Why do we pray? If we want to be truly authentic and real with God, then we need to learn to pray because we want to be in relationship with him, and to give up our own will and desires and embrace God's will, God's desire for our lives. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours. And this is why we can't just settle for simply asking God to bless our food or be with us today. We are seeking to communicate with God in a real, vulnerable and intimate prayer. And so he doesn't wrap us up in a bubble of spiritual safety. Instead, he bursts our what's in it for me bubble and invites us to trust him when we don't know what he will do next. Are you ready for more? Are you sick of playing it safe? Are you ready to pray daring, faith-filled, God-honouring, life-changing, world-transforming prayers? As we go deeper in prayer and invite God to move in life-changing and world-transforming ways, there will also be bumps. Satan doesn't like it when we pray fervent, passionate, vulnerable and dangerous prayers. He likes it when we keep our prayers safe and boring, because he knows that nothing really important will happen. So when we start praying dangerously, Satan panics and starts trying to stop us from praying. And so you may experience deep valleys and pits, pains and hardship, trial and even heartbreak. But we will also experience the joy of faith, the marvel of miracles, the wonder of the Holy Spirit moving amongst us, the relief of surrender, the power and pleasure of pleasing God. So let us begin to start praying dangerously. Let us move away from safe prayers and start talking really talking and really listening to God.